Turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, it has this verse repeated, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's repeated again in 15, verse 21, verse 31. Four times you see that. But it's in the context of something going on. Verse 3. The children of Israel are redeemed out of Egypt. He gathered them out of the lands from the east and the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And you know, the Lord allowed that hunger and that thirst. He led them to a place where the waters were bitter. They couldn't drink. They got fussy. Then the Lord cleaned up the water for them. There were some other wells there where they got to drink. He let them get hungry, and then he provided the manna. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted them. Verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distresses, or out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. All right, then notice again, without reading the whole psalm, notice again, like in verse 10, such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. But what did they do? Verse 13, just like before, then they cried. That's what they did in verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Brought them out of darkness in the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You know what happens? It happens again. Verse 18, their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then he talks about men that go down in ships and what they see out there. Verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. What do they do? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Do you see a pattern here? You see a pattern here? Trouble comes, distress comes, affliction comes, hunger comes. Then they cry unto the Lord, and after they cry unto the Lord, he delivers them. Oh, that men would praise him. Affliction draws you close to God. You may be in something right now. And if you are, what you want to recognize is that God is there as well. We've talked about that a number of times. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the other things that we've talked about. God's there. Now, so if you're going through something, you can't be sure why you ended up there. And other people looking at you can't be sure why you ended up there. Job's friends tried their best to condemn Job just so they could find some justifiable reason why he was going through all that stuff he was going through. And they were wrong. And so affliction, though, draws you close to God. That you want to remember, no matter why you got there or how you got there or what there is. God shows up in the midst of that distress, that trouble, that problem, that affliction, that distress. He's there. And when you recognize that God is there, you may not immediately. You may be looking for a way out first. You may be doing some self-examination. How did I get into this mess first? Thinking if I get out, then this affliction will pass. Nevertheless, at some point in that time of trouble, you are going to look up and you're going to cry out to God. It happened when they got into the wilderness. It happened when they got hungry. You know, it happens in the sea. It happens when they rebel. You look up and you find God. You cry out and God is there and He delivers you. And in your life, some of us have been around long enough, you have seen an occasion, at least one, if not more, where you found yourself in a fix like this and you cried out to God and God showed up and God delivered you. And you can examine your life through your entire Christian time, and more than likely, almost certainly, you have never been closer to God than you were at that moment when He came to deliver you. It's just you just get really close to Him. And there is a zeal for God, and there is a praise for God, and there is a freshness in the relationship. He is so real. He's palpable. He's so good, you just cry tears at the thought of Him. And you're thankful for the thing that brought you to that place, even though maybe somebody else was involved and you really want to fuss at them. Because of what God did when He showed up, or what God is doing when He shows up, or what God will do if you happen to be in something, when He shows up to deliver you, you're like, wow, God is the greatest. There's nobody greater. Look at the wonderful works. How did He single me out? There's 7 billion people on the face of the earth. And somehow He stopped everything so He'd come rescue me. And just God is so good. And suddenly you realize if it hadn't been for the distress, you would not have gotten that close to God, and you're thankful. But just like the people in Psalm 107, the further you get away from the episode of that trouble, the more you cool off again. The zeal that you had, the freshness in the relationship that you had, the speed with which you could get a hold of God in prayer, the presence of God in your life, the awareness that you had that He was right there, just phew. It's like He's a little bit further away. It's a little bit, there's a little callus that has grown on your heart, a little distance that has come. And you know what we need to do is we don't want to go through this cycle again and again and again that we've read about in Psalm 107. You want to get to a place where God is so real you can touch Him, and then you want to stay there without having to go through more affliction to get there again. You don't want it to be a seesaw experience of Christianity. You just say, okay, if it took this to bring that much zeal into my life where I would love God that much and He would be that close to me, what can I do? What can we do to keep the freshness of that relationship and the closeness of that relationship of God without having to go through it again? Do you think it's possible? I do too. I do. I really think it's possible. Now, it won't be possible if we go through the same cycle that you see here, where the good days come. And listen, being in the ministry, I've gone through this myself. Being in the ministry, I've seen other people go through it. Man, they'll call preacher whenever the distress is on, whenever the trouble comes, and boy, phew, we're there. You know, it's the 911 call, and you. Oh, the tears and the combined tears of crying out for His presence, and then the relief and joy when God actually shows up and does something about it. But what's so frustrating is about 2 years later, they're just like they were before the trouble came. It's like, you don't want to go through this again. And where's that person who God was everything to you then, but now everything in the world is something to you, and God is just the man upstairs. What happened? Well, I think it's possible. I think you think it's possible. Many of you nodded your head when I asked you, is it possible to keep that zeal, that freshness? And I think it is. I think there are four things, at least in this psalm, that we can see that will help us not go back where we were before and invite yet another episode. And frankly, listen, if another episode does come, you're already going to be close to God. Life is that way. I heard a man say one time when he went through a horrible situation and he got really close to God, and then an even worse situation came before he even caught his breath. And he said, you know, here's what he said. If it hadn't been for that first situation, I would not have been prepared for this one. Okay? So sometimes you get a little back to back, and it's tough. It's hard. It's frustrating. It's sad. But how do we keep that zeal for God? How do we keep that temperature high like it was in the midst of that distress? Well, first of all, it's obvious one thing. Verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, verse 31. It's obvious. The first thing is praise. Praise. In other words, if you're praising the Lord because everybody gets excited the moment of the victory. In any sporting competition, man, the confetti is falling down, the check just got received, the trophy's in your hand, and you want to keep praising God the next day and the day after and the day after and the day after and the next year and 2 years later for that victory and that wonderful thing He's done in your life. Never let that thing cool off. Ever. Praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You know, when you give your testimony to somebody else, God found me in this situation, God saved me, and God changed my life. Bringing that all back to memory and praising God for that, kindles that fire again. It keeps that zeal going. You know, speaking of that zeal and that vehemence, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, when the church repented of the way they handled that situation with that young man committing fornication with his father's wife and got that thing straight, Paul said, he complimented him. What indignation, what vehemence, what zeal, what clearing of yourselves. In other words, they did something and they decided they weren't going to change their attitude about that if something like that came up in the future. You keep it hot. And praise will do that. We have an opportunity every time we're together to open that hymn book and praise the Lord. And many of those hymns that are in there are praises of how somebody did, God did something in the life of somebody, and I just want everybody else to know. And those become our praises. So that's the first thing. Keep praising God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men and what He's done for you. That keeps that zeal. Singing and praying keeps reminding you just how good God is. And you don't have to go back through affliction again to be reminded. Okay? Second thing, verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. You see what happened? They got delivered and God gave them some commandments. And they knew what to do to obey God. And He said, this will be our righteousness. We live by these words. If you do these things, you will live. And they didn't do those things. They rebelled. So the second thing after praise is obedience. Is obedience. God doesn't need to take us through trouble or distress or affliction to remind us to obey Him if we are already obeying Him. In other words, life may bring something that is distressing in your life, but it won't be because you've been disobeying God. These went back into the affliction. God had to take them down in order to remind them, just like parents chastening children, when you don't do what I tell you to do, there's consequences to this. So obedience is one way to keep that zeal. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And He shows you in the Scripture, obey me here. And man, when you obey Him, it keeps that. Oh. How many times in my own life, how many times helping others through difficult situations, something bad comes and they'll say, I really think this has something to do with this, and they put their finger on something they know they've been out of line with God on. I was standing with a fellow one time, and his son had died. Just a wreck. Instantly. Died at the scene. An automobile accident. Bucket of tears. Shocking. I'm there with him at the hospital. His heart is absolutely broken. And through the sobs, there at the hospital, son is still in the room. They hadn't even picked him up to take him to the undertaker yet. I wonder if this would have happened had I not been doing this. I don't say that son died because the father did that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you don't want to be asking those questions. That changes. It says, hey, God and I have not been like we are in this moment right now. He was willing to get anything right with God at that moment. Well, obedience. Obedience is one of the things that helps us to get off the roller coaster of what you read in Psalm 107 and keeps that zeal for God. What's the third thing? Look at verse 39. So what gets us so close to God? Oh man, we get things right with God. We'll stay obedient. We find out how good God is because He delivers. We'll then keep praising Him. All right. And then third thing, verse 39. Again, they are minished, and what are the next two words? Brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he, the next two words, the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. You keep praising God just like you did when you were in, you know, just got delivered. That'll keep you hot with the Lord. You stay obedient. And third thing, humility. Praise, obedience, humility. He doesn't have to bring you down if you're already down. In every one of these cases, there's an element of pride, an element of, you know, self-sufficiency, an element of I'm a got this, okay, I can tie my own shoes, God, okay, I don't need you for that. And not good. He takes princes and he brings them down, but he'll set the poor on high. And once you've been through an experience where God had to show up and God had to deliver you, you want to remember what it was like, how humble you were before God in that moment. And then you come out of that experience and you stay down there. And that keeps that freshness of the relationship, because he giveth grace to the humble. And there's one more thing here in verse 43, and you contrast it with another verse in the psalm. Verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Okay? Wisdom. It takes praise, obedience, humility, and wisdom. You want to observe these things. You want to apply in the fear of God. Oh, yeah, I understand the loving kindness of God. Look at verse 17 by contrast. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So we don't want to be foolish. You know, we say a fool never learns from his mistakes, so he's going to have to go back through it again, right? A wise man does learn from his mistakes. And so he goes through there and he says, I see how I got into that distress. I see how I got into that trouble. All right, God was there. God delivered me. Praise the Lord for his goodness. I'm now going to obey God. I'm going to stay humble and be wise. I've learned from that. We don't have to go back through that We've graduated from kindergarten now. And I have to go back through that school. Learned in the school of hard knocks. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content, therewith to be content. I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. Okay, he went to school. So go to school on it. And get in there and say, man, I'm going to stay close to God. That way, if life brings another one of these things, God brings another one of these things, whatever the case may be, I'm already there. I don't have to cry out and ask God to deliver me. We get into this together. Wisdom. Wisdom. So learn from that. Stay. Go back in your own life. Even if you're not in anything right now, look back in your life, and if you've had a recent or perhaps sort of recent experience where you went through a time of affliction and God brought you really close to Him and delivered you, and you've kind of cooled off since then, go back there and start praising Him again for what He did. Obey the things He's showing you to do here. Okay? Humble yourself again and become just as dependent now as you were then when you really needed Him to deliver you, and apply some wisdom that say, I think I'm going to stay right here. This is a good place to be with God. And that zeal will be right there. And it won't be a roller coaster or a merry-go-round. Haven't we seen this picture before? Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for clarity. Thank you so much that each of us sitting here today has probably already seen this in our lives once, and give us instructions so we don't have to see it quite this way the next time. Rekindle our fire of zeal for you, dear Lord, where our praise of you is just as earnest now as it was the day we found the victory from the horrible thing we were in. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.